definitely is a could. Welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. What a show we have. Yes, we are hyper-focused on climate change because it is the mother of all ecological challenges, and there's so many aspects to it, the scientific, first and foremost, the political, the media coverage, the controversial, quote, controversial, and when are we going to get to the solutions? We need to stop the debate, and one step in that direction, we hope, was Dr. Richard Muller. Of course, he is a physicist, and he was a climate skeptic, and he has done research which shows, and it was partly funded by the Koch brothers, that in fact climate change is real and that humans are causing it. He's with the Berkeley Earth Surface Temperature, Dr. Muller is, and he was on last week on the show, hope you caught it, and we were a little bit concerned because as the conversation progressed, D.R. Tucker and I were asking him questions that really showed that he is not necessarily converted. He still thinks that Al Gore's movie, Inconvenient Truth, of course, was exaggerated. He thinks that ClimateGate is not a settled issue, and that's why we decided to bring Dr. Michael Mann back on. By the way, he did agree to come on and debate Michael Mann, so we're going to do that at some point in the near future, but we first wanted to give you a chance, Mike, to respond. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but perhaps you're surprised, perhaps you're not, that Dr. Muller is kind of, sort of, a skeptic believer, I guess, if we can call him that. Welcome back.
Thanks, Betsy. It's great to be back on the show. I did have a chance to hear the interview with Richard Muller, and I have to say, many of us who've worked in this field for, you know, well over a decade, are a bit taken aback at the notion that you know, we need a rogue, you know, skeptic like Richard Muller to come in and tell us what we already knew, that the globe is warming and that we cannot explain that from natural factors, that there is the clear imprint of human activity, the increase in greenhouse gas concentrations from fossil fuel burning in that warming. And so a year ago, you know, Muller came out and said that indeed he looked into it and confirmed that the Earth was warming. And that brought us up to where climate science actually was, where the consensus of thousands of scientists around the world were back in the 1980s. Just in the past month, he came out with this new finding that indeed the warming cannot be explained by natural factors. And that brought Richard Muller up to where the science was in the mid-1990s. Unfortunately, he appears to be somewhat stuck there. In the comments that he made on your show and several other media outlets where he's done interviews recently, he has perpetuated a number of myths and sort of standard climate change denial talking points, like, you know, Al Gore got everything wrong in the movie, when in fact climate scientists who reviewed the movie have found that he in fact pretty much got it right.
If anything, it was a little bit conservative, as climate scientist Michael McCracken said during Al Gore's training. And I mentioned that to Muller, and he poo-pooed it as if, you know, Al Gore just paid off, you know, a climate scientist to say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's frankly silly, and apparently paid off all of the climate scientists, because it's very much, you know, the consensus from colleagues that I've spoken to, that we think he did a really good job in, you know, boiling down a fairly complicated, you know, science in a way that was accessible to a, you know, to a lay audience, and basically getting it right in the process. You know, necessarily, when you simplify things for a lay audience, a non-technical audience, you know, there are certain details that you can't go into. There are certain caveats that you don't always have time to mention. But by and large, did a very good job. And you know, Muller has made statements denying the relationship between anthropogenic warming and the decrease in Arctic sea ice that is now at record lows right now,
right,
or is on a trajectory to beat the old record. That's nonsense.
Hard to imagine. He also was diminishing the connection between Hurricane Katrina and climate change. I mean, Hurricane Katrina, right after Wilma and Rita, you know, is what started to wake up a lot of Americans when we saw the intensity of and destructiveness of that storm. Now, granted, New Orleans was not prepared for such a strong storm, real problem with the infrastructure, but do you think that he can get away with saying that had nothing to do with global warming?
No, I mean, what we're seeing is the loading of the weather dice. And so, of course, it's true that you can never take any one event and say, absolutely, that event was caused by climate change. The analogy is a baseball player on steroids who hits, you know, twice as many home runs as he did the year before. Well, no, you can't prove that that one home run that he just hit was due to the steroids. But you know, in a statistical sense, that the fact he's hitting so many more home runs is because of the steroids. It's the same thing. Climate is essentially, climate change is putting our weather on steroids. And so we're seeing the loading of the weather dice towards more extreme events of various sorts. And one of the more robust predictions is that in the Atlantic, hurricane intensities have increased and they will likely continue to increase. And so it's part of a trend. You know, Katrina, the record season of 2005, was part of a trend towards more destructive storms, storms that can do more damage because there's about 5% more water vapor in the atmosphere because of global warming on average, and that means you get more flooding and rainfall out of these events. So, you know, the fact is, you go on down the line, the relationship between anthropogenic climate change and the record-breaking heat and drought that we're seeing in the U.S. this summer, there is a clear imprint of human climate change in what we're seeing, and Richard Mueller continues to deny that. Meanwhile, he, you know, continues to cite discredited claims about individual scientists. He's attacked me personally. He made the false claim that the National Academy of Science disputed our findings, that the recent warming is likely unprecedented in more than 1,000 years. The finding that I talk about in my book, The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, which is about my experiences in the climate change debate surrounding the fact that we produced this iconic image, the so-called hockey stick curve, showing that recent warming is unprecedented in at least 1,000 years. Mueller claimed that the National Academy of Sciences discredited or disputed our findings when, in fact, their statement was, their summary statement was that there was, if I can actually find the wording itself, that there was a wealth of evidence that indicates that late 20th century warmth in the Northern Hemisphere was unprecedented during the last 1,000 years. And the various, you know, if you looked at the newspaper reports that came out after the National Academy released that study, the headlines were Academy Affirms Hockey Stick Graph. That's the journal Nature. The New York Times, Science Panel Backs Study on Warming Climate. The Washington Post, Study Confirms Past Few Decades Warmest on Record. The BBC, Backing for Hockey Stick Graph. And so it's amazing that Mueller can come on a show like this and just tell your leaders something that's blatantly false. And it's unfortunate because, you know, he has done a service, I think, to the discourse by at least acknowledging what scientists have been saying for decades, you know, that the Earth is warming, that it's due to human activity. It's unfortunate that he's now downplaying the seriousness of that problem at such a critical time and using the media opportunities he's been getting to peddle, for example, fracking and natural gas, where there are some unknown dangers. And, you know, we need to think much more broadly about our energy policy and shifting away from fossil fuels if we are going to avert dangerous impacts on our climate. It isn't just enough to say we'll shift from one fossil fuel to another and we'll do so safely because, trust me, which is what Mueller seems to be saying. It's also a pretty convenient conclusion for the Koch brothers who are funding his work.
And isn't that why he did get so much attention? And what do you think the significance of that is? I mean, do you think that's why he's kind of fudging still because of that connection? And do you think that there's any chance that what he did find and is acknowledging that it's real and, you know, human caused, even though that's, yes, as you say, decades old, that there could be any chance of influencing the Koch brothers either? Who knows what their actual opinion is, but what they're funding? Or is that wildly optimistic and unrealistic and naive to even hope that that might happen?
Well, you know, I do think it raises eyebrows that the Koch brothers funded his work and that many of his conclusions options are actually convenient from their standpoint. Here he's downplaying the risks associated with climate change. He's specifically advocating for the development of natural gas, and of course the Koch brothers are heavily invested in transportation of fossil fuels, including natural gas. He said that the reason that the Koch Foundation funded him was that they recognized the issues with the science were real, and that's what the Koch brothers liked, that he recognized that there were serious issues with the science. Well, no. The science that Mueller was disputing has been accepted for decades, two decades as far as the Earth is warming, at least a decade, more than a decade, that the warming is due to human influences. And so, there wasn't legitimate dispute about the things that Mueller was claiming were unsettled. And like I said, the conclusions and the things that he's been saying, specifically the kinds of statements he's been making, downplaying the impacts of climate change and promoting, a particular fossil fuel, natural gas development, I think continues to raise eyebrows among those of us, who are listening to what he's saying.
Yeah, all too predictable in terms of having the markings of those who would deny that we really have a serious problem and need to make a shift in where we get our energy from.
That's right.
When I pushed him on, I was trying to get some inside scoop on, what would that conversation sound like if you haven't had it yet with Charles and David Koch, based on what you did find, that perhaps was a little bit surprising to some of you. And he really kind of hemmed and hawed and hedged about that. He did acknowledge that he knows them and has met with them personally. So, talk about cognitive dissonance. Given the extent and the depth to which they're funding this denial, as Joseph Rome, who was just on, called the Dick Complex, denial industrial complex, how can they look themselves in the mirror given, this latest? This is just one more ridiculous, no, it's not ridiculous, it's serious, it's outrageous, development. And with the election so close, and with Romney and Ryan, and perhaps you can comment on what you think of, Paul Ryan's track record on energy and climate change, there's so much at stake.
Yeah, well, I tweeted on this recently. By the way, if people want to follow me at Twitter, I'm Michael E. Mann. As soon as Romney announced, Paul Ryan as the vice president, there was quite a bit of consternation within the climate research community, because it's well known to us that Ryan subscribes to some of the most, remarkably misguided conspiracy theories about climate change, that it's a hoax, and that was revealed by the stolen emails. Ryan is on record as a climate change denier, and of course he's been heavily funded, once again, by the Koch brothers, who are the largest funders of climate change denial.
Something to do better with Koch, as I say, and that is climate change denial.
And at the same time, it turns out that his press secretary, Romney's press secretary, Andrea Saul, used to work for an organization called the DCI Group. And they were the ones behind websites like Tech Central Station that purported to be technical news sites but were actually fronts for industry-funded propaganda. Much of it was climate change denial propaganda, and I was personally attacked. I talk about this in my book. I was personally attacked by the DCI group. They were responsible for some of the initial attacks against us in our work that appeared on these websites, that they funded press conferences by fossil fuel industry advocates to attack our work, and the head of the Tech Central Station, the website funded by the DCI group, actually got an op-ed into USA Today back in 2004, attacking our work. So it is quite alarming that that one of the major party candidates in the presidential race, Mitt Romney, has literally surrounded himself with climate change deniers. And, look, there is a good faith debate, and I say this repeatedly, to be had about what to do about the problem. But we can no longer have a good faith debate about whether the problem exists. And unfortunately, based on the people that he's appointing to important positions within his campaign, Mitt Romney appears to be denying, or at least he appears to be playing to the idea that there is still a question about whether or not climate change is real.
And you make a distinction between a good faith debate and a bad faith debate, and that's really what this has been.
You know,
kill the messenger or quash the messenger, approach. And the other thing that was outrageous was Dr. Mueller was diminishing the connection between the continuing drought and the continuing fires, connection to climate change. I mean, that's the one area that I think there's been pretty general agreement on that we're seeing, records break, daily.
Yeah. Well, look at what was behind the record-breaking wildfires in Colorado. You had record-breaking heat. Okay, we broke all-time heat records set back in the Dust Bowl years, and we know that the rate at which we are breaking all-time records for warmth is increasing precisely at the rate we expect it to, based on climate models that project that we will continue to increase these all-time heat records more and more frequently as warming progresses. So we had that record-breaking heat, we had near-record drought conditions, and we had huge amounts of fuel for those fires. We had large forests that were dead or dying because of infestation by the pine bark beetle, which is a species that has moved into higher latitudes and is infesting forests now in Colorado because of the relatively warm winters we're now seeing there and the lack of killing frost that would normally kill off the beetle larva. So we had three different things coming together, almost a perfect storm of ingredients, each of which plausibly has a climate change component.
Mm. We just have another minute and a half left. Michael, what do you think needs to happen next in the lead up to the election? Need to hear a lot more from President Obama, I would think you'd agree.
Yeah, it would be nice. Obama has at times said some, very helpful things about the challenges that we face in terms of our energy choices, the need to transition away from fossil fuels. He just the other day was out there advocating for the development of renewable energy, wind energy, while the other candidate was advocating for increased development of fossil fuels. And so there's a contrast that's definitely developing between the two major candidates on issues relevant to climate change. Nonetheless, I think many of us would like to see more discussion about climate change between the candidates. I would like to see the old Mitt Romney. There have been a lot of Republicans in the past who had very enlightened views on the issue of climate change. It shouldn't be a partisan political issue.
It should not be something you can flip-flop on, globally important.
No, we all care about the future of our children, grandchildren, and we need to get back to that good faith debate about what to do about the problem.
Michael Mann, thank you so much for your great work. We've been speaking with Penn State climate scientist Michael E. Mann. His book, I highly recommend it if you want to understand what's going on with our climate, The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines. And that does it for The Green Front, where we report on the green front lines and bring you the people making news that matters most to you, your children, and grandchildren. Have a great green week. If you missed part of the show, go to my website, thegreenfront.com, and you can hear the entire program and share the wealth with your friends. Don't let The Green Front be the best kept secret on the internet, as I say. It's for everybody. Have a great one.